Appreciate that. What a voice. Randy will have tapes and CDs for sale back over here on the table. Get one and bring it, take it home. You'll enjoy it, I promise you. If you need any of our tapes, they're back here. And they're free. CDs. Then again, Randy sings better than I do, but you might like mine. I don't know. Oh, me. S.O.S. Good to see you here. People came from all over. Some from hundreds of miles away. Others from up the block or city down the street. Know that we have envelopes up here. And my wife put the picture, a little bin, and of the little boy with no arms that we support with the Wise family. Don't have any arms. His brother has MS. And they have a pretty tough time. And if you'll get some of these envelopes, the pink ones are for one group and the yellow ones are for the other, and drop them a dollar in the mail or two in the week. We can take up a big collection, make you cry and all that, but that ain't gonna last long. They're gonna be sick forever. So take some envelopes and drop a dollar or two in the mail. It won't hurt you, make you feel better than it will them, by the way. And they're looking for the mailman. They contact my wife, email, and it's the thrill of their day when you send an envelope and they get it. And it's, if you just say thank you and we're praying for you, or have a good day or whatever, and if you can send them a little money, you do that. So please do that. We can't help everybody, but we can help them, and we shall do that. And little Ben is the son of Paul Taylor here, and he's here, so we don't say what his condition is, but it isn't pleasant. So help him if you can. That will be nice. We got some special things to do today. The fountain that you see in front, if you can see it, is a cross, and water comes out the top and goes over the top of it, and it's a very beautiful thing, and it has some pebbles underneath, and it's just a beautiful thing. I don't guess the guy who made it in Taiwan knew what he was doing, but as soon as I saw it, I said, look at that, there's a picture of the cross and a continual washing of the water of the Word right there in front of you. I said, that's something to own. So we wanted to get that. I bought it yesterday on your behalf. We want to give it to somebody this morning. Brother Tyndall, you here? Get over here just a minute. He's old. It'll take a long time. But he will be here. And this is Ed Tyndall. Give him a hand. Two years ago, Ed stopped me in the parking lot out there and said, somebody said you were a preacher. Is that true? And I said, well, some people think so. Come on, Ed. It's all right. And he said, well, if I can get a little group together, will you teach me about the Bible and tell me about Jesus? He said, I'm getting old. And I said, yeah, I sure will. And so he got three or four together, and Tom Boggs is here. He was one of the first ones. And so we had about four people we started with 2 years ago, and the Lord has sent this number today. And we're glad of that. And we thank you for that. And we're not going to make you cry, and we're not going to let you talk, because last time I gave the microphone to somebody, it was an hour before I got it back. And we ain't going to do that anymore. You just say thank you, your things up front, your pumps at the back, and Bob will help you put it together when you get you home.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. We appreciate that. Thank you for coming this morning from miles around. I tell people these tapes go out. People send them all over the country. We're glad of that. So I tell them on the tapes that people come all the way from North Carolina. They don't know Calabash 5 miles up the road. And we don't have to tell everything, you know. So some of you came a long way, some of you got up early, some of you were left over from last night. We're glad you stayed. Just keep your seat. You may learn something. Who knows? Well, we're glad everybody's here. Thank you so much. And for what you mean to us and spread the word that we're here, H. Lee allows us to use this place free of charge. H. Lee Brown runs this place here and doesn't charge us a dime. And it's not that he didn't want to charge us, but Melvin still got that gun. And we thank H. Lee. If you had to rent a place like it, it'd cost $1,000 for a Sunday to do that. So we thank you for coming. If it's your first time, raise your hand. If it's your first time you've been with us, well, thank you so much for coming. Hope you'll come back. And as we always say, if it's your last time, you can raise your hand too. If you're mad at it, didn't like us, see, we weren't too thrilled with some of y'all either. But we'll put up with you. And thank you for coming. We will expound the scriptures. We're a little bit different here. We're a little bit casual. And we enjoy that. We think you ought to be happy if you're a Christian. A sad Christian is an oxymoron. They don't belong in the same sentence. I don't know how they got that together. But somehow some of the churches came straight from the lemon-sucking convention and went on in there. And you don't need to do that here. We happy about what we got. You see, we remember where we came from. And we remember what we were. And when you do that, you can smile. So we will pray and then we will expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for such a beautiful day you've given us and the use of your ocean and your beach and your sunshine and your air and all the good things you've done for us. Thank you for sending folks this morning. No one's here by accident. But everyone here is by divine appointment, and Lord Jesus, there comes a time in every man's life when he hears the gospel plainly and simply, and it registers in his heart. And there comes a time when someone hears it for the last time. And if either of those people are here this morning, I'd ask that you open their ears and open their heart and let the Spirit of God touch them, that they too can join the family of God and be a Christian and on their way to heaven instead of lost and on the way to hell. That's why we're here. That's what you ask us to do, and that's what we shall do. And as always, remove me from this place, that you be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten shall be, that anything we say that should be remembered will be, and that folks before the sun will set on them again this day who are lost will find a Savior in the one Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, and amen and amen. And this morning, if you brought a Bible, turn to Matthew. Matthew 13, at the verse 45. I always like to give people time to find them, those verses. In that area of Scripture, you will find several parables by the Lord himself. And he spoke in parables. The reason was given in the Scriptures that he did. He didn't want just anybody understanding. And he spoke to those and got his message to them with the object for them to get the message to others. And the parables are quite interesting. A parable is a heavenly truth contained in an earthly story. And you will find a parable won't use anybody's name. The parable of the coin, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, the parable of pearl of great price we're going to talk about today will never contain anybody's name because it's just rendering to you a heavenly truth in an earthly story. So this one does not either. Now that when somebody's name is mentioned, you can bet your life it was fact. And I'm glad they found Noah's Ark the other day. I saw on television. I was glad of that. And whether they found it or not doesn't matter. When the Lord Jesus refers to it, that ends it. He refers to Jonah. I don't need to see the fish. He referred to Jonah. If it said in that book, it had a TV set in it, change the channel. I believe it. Let's get one. And just go right ahead. Nothing else has failed from there. Nothing else will. And if you don't understand it, guess whose fault it is? And the scientists and the professors and the liberals who question this book are questioning God Almighty. And I can't wait to see them do it in person. I don't mean to be hateful. So we will go from the book, and then we shall expound. The pearl of great price is found in Matthew 13, verse 45, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." And in those 33 words is a wonderful, wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ building the church. My wife types my notes for me and does a wonderful job. At my age, I can't see the small print anymore. And I can look at my notes and have it all out, and she says, "You'll never get 30 minutes out of this one." 33 words. And I said, "You show up and we'll see." She knows better. She said, "You mean them people come knowing you're going to talk?" And I said, "Yeah." So, in 33 words, you won't believe till you hear it, the information that contains. This is a picture of Christ doing his Father's business. The business of Jesus was to come and to seek and to save the lost. We're told in John, he came to destroy the works of the devil, and for several other reasons, and that's a whole other sermon. But the basic reason that Jesus came was to seek and to save the lost, me and you and everybody else on earth who was lost. So this is a picture of Christ as the man who is doing the buying here. He is the merchant man, and he is out to make a purchase. And when he finds this pearl of great price, it is so valuable, he pays for it with his own blood. And he dies to get the payment paid, and he paid for me, and he paid for you, and it was a price without number. And I love to look in Acts 20:28. It's one of my favorite verses. I found it several years ago, and as you do, you pick up the scriptures and learn something new every time you study. And it said, "Take care of God's church, you overseers who have been put over it." And it was purchased, the church of God, which was purchased by his blood. I said, "Back up. I thought it was the blood of Christ which purchased the church." It is. It said the blood of God. Where'd God get any blood? So Jesus had to be God, and we got us a contradiction and a lie, don't we? And we don't. He is. And God gave his blood that he could purchase the church for presentation to himself. When reading this, I questioned, why a pearl? The pearl in the day of Christ was the gem of gems. It was called the queen of gems. Today we have the diamond in such a position, and we have rubies and emeralds and things like that. But in that day, a natural pearl necklace was so rare that it had an incomparable value. You couldn't put a price on it. And when Jesus used the pearl, he knew exactly what he was doing when he was talking to these people in that society and on down to us who would learn about that society, that he was talking about the rarity of a natural pearl. They were so rare that only kings and the extremely wealthy could afford to have them. And the crowns of kings around the world today from ancient days always contain pearls, because they were so rare and so beautiful. Cleopatra at one time was trying to convince Mark Antony not to invade Egypt. And she was saying, "Look, we're too wealthy for you. If you Rome comes after us, we can not only protect ourselves, we can buy other armies to protect us. And we'll give you the time of your life. You don't want to come up here." And she said, "I tell you what, come to dinner with me. Come up here and eat dinner with me. And I will have the richest dinner ever served placed in front of you. I'll show you what money is. You think Rome got some money?" So he came. And the dinner hall was set. And you know, they knew how to put on a dinner. They'd have dinners that would last weeks, sometimes months. And there was nothing in front of her and Aunt Mark Antony but two empty plates. And then they came and put two glasses of wine on the plates. That's all that was there. And he was wondering what was going on, and she reached up and took off a pearl earring and handed it to one of her people, and they crushed it, put it in the wine, and it dissolved, and she drank it. She said, here's the other one for you. And he declined, because those pearls were worth $9 million for a set of earrings in our money. And he said, I think we'll lay off y'all a while. It looks like y'all doing pretty good if this is dinner. Largest pearl ever found weighed 39 pounds. It's in a bank vault in San Francisco, and there is no number to put on the price. They can't even guesstimate. Nobody will even render a guess what it can do. So we wondered why the pearl, and this was some of the reasons, but it wasn't the reason. The reason the Lord Jesus used the illustration of the pearl instead of diamonds and rubies and amethyst and the other stones mentioned in the Bible is because the pearl represents the church, which he purchased with his blood. And the church is not the Baptist church or Presbyterian or on the corner or whatever. We use church in that sentence. We'll call it the Baptist church, and it's okay. It's a secondary meaning. But the real meaning of the church is the ecclesia. In Greek, it is the called out body of believers. And all those bodies, regardless of what denomination or whatever you want to label yourself, it is the called out body of believers, those who've been called by God, have accepted his Son as their Savior, and formed the church universal. And that is what a pearl stands for, because the church is one made up of all the individuals. And it will amaze you how the pearl pictures this. The pearl is like the church because the pearl is a complete unit. You don't divide a pearl. You can divide a diamond. They'll mark it off and hit it one time and it will split. And then they can mark those and they'll be of lesser value. You can't do a pearl like that. A pearl is a pearl is a pearl. Once it's found. That's its size. That's its value. And nothing's added to it. Now the big church, the big pearl, is added to layer by layer by layer. One by one by one. The accretion gets on there and sticks. The oyster puts it on there. And just one by one, one at a time. And that's how the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is formed. It's no big massive rally. It's no big written bang in the sky that says today's the day. Everybody's coming in. Do it now. It's one by one by one, and that's how the church universal, billions of people, and that's how they came in. And we find that the church, the oyster, the pearl, needs nothing done to it. Not one thing. When you take a diamond out of the ground, you've got to clean it up. And then you've got to buff it. And then you've got to size it. And then you've got to cut it. And then you have to polish it. And to get a diamond on your finger, you've got to go through 100 different steps. But an oyster's not so. It just says, here it is, folks, come and get it. Bam, there it is. Wipe it off, and there it is. You don't have to do anything to it. And I said, that's the way God did me. He said, you're a little trashy, but I'll just take you as you are, just as I am without one plea. I'll just take you as you are. Wipe you off a little bit, and you in with the rest of them. You don't have to take a back seat. You don't have to try to do anything to clean yourself up. I have done all that can be done. When I created you a new creature in Christ Jesus, that was the totality of it. That was the end of it. For I cried on the cross, not this is a pretty good beginning. I cried, it is finished. Oh, amen. So we find that like the pearl, the church was developed through suffering. The pearl, the oyster is in the bottom of the river or the ocean, and it inhales, as you know, the water coming through. That's how it eats. But a grain of sand will get in there, and it won't pass through. And the sharp edges of the sand will catch on to the fleshy part of the oyster, and it will embed itself, and the water won't pass it through. And it becomes an irritant. And it becomes to hurt. The oyster begins to suffer. It's painful. So he begins to cover it with accretion. That's the pearl developing. But this is done through suffering. It isn't pleasant. And even when he smooths it with the accretion, it's still making it larger and still causing his own suffering. He can't win once he gets in there. So he keeps making the pearl. Through his suffering comes the beauty. I said, amen. I saw that on the cross one time. Through his suffering, the church came. Through him bearing my sin, the church came. Through him being pierced with the nails and beaten on his back came the beauty of the church that we see to say. Both the pearl and the pearl of great price came through suffering. The early church, we have it easy. You see, we can't identify with a suffering church. We own padded pews and carpeted floors and air conditioning and mad cause our chandelier isn't as big as the Presbyterians and the Methodists got a new organ and we didn't. And why heaven's sake, you know, our parking lot, I had to walk a block to get to church last week. And we don't imagine a suffering church like they had in Russia just a few years ago. You get caught reading the Bible, you get killed. A bishop from the Catholic Church just went to China to celebrate the underground church. He went over to hold a celebration, and they arrested him just this week. Can cost him his life. A missionary and his family was just shot down in South America. You saw it on television. They thought they were a drug plane. They didn't think they were a drug plane. They dadgum well knew who they were. They murdered them, exactly what happened. The Islams that I'm having crammed down my throat, as I'm not supposed to be politically incorrect and supposed to love everybody. Where'd you read that? Islam's killing missionaries today if they can find them. You break out a Bible in any Islamic country, they'll cut your head off. They're not your friend. They're your sworn and avowed enemy. And the biggest wars we're going to have in the next few years, and you can say I heard it right at the beach, will be with Islam. You take them into this country and into your churches and into your care without doing it, without explaining the Lord Jesus and bringing them to Christ, you'll do it at the threat of a war on our streets. I'll guarantee you when the small atomic bombs, which they have now, that will fit in a briefcase that size, when they become marketable, they're going to go off in our country. Nobody wants to blow up Egypt. They want to blow us up. Understand it's coming. A jihad is on the way. And out of suffering, our missionaries today on the field are giving out Bibles and winning people to Jesus at the threat of death right now. Reading a Bible in China, you do it at the threat of death. Reading it in many places of the world, you do it at the threat of death. We were tortured in the Reformation for believing the gospel as we preach it, that you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. We came out of the oyster, son. We were ready when we came out. I don't need your holy water. I don't need your magical sayings. I don't need your signs and your books. I don't need anything. When Jesus said, he's mine, I was his. That's the end of it. Done. Over, complete in Christ, need nothing added to me, as did you. So we find out we're being tortured today in some countries because the Bible is preached like this, and we're tortured by people who claim they represent Jesus Christ. We'll be tortured tomorrow. Suffering's on the way again for the church. Believe me when I tell you this. There's a bill in Congress right now that you can't say anything contrary to any other religion. Sorry, boss man said to let them have hell. Sorry. He said, you don't accept me, you accept nobody. You either in, out, up, down, one of mine, or going to hell. Understand it. Don't care who you are. Don't care where you're from. I'm not called to be tolerant. I'm called to be truthful. And you live your life without Jesus Christ here, you'll live your eternity without him there. Understand that. And there's one way and no other way. And they say, isn't that a little narrow? Yes, that's exactly what it says. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way here, and few there be that find it. It's as narrow as a beam on a cross. It's as narrow as a nail in a hand. It's as narrow as a stream of blood down a Savior's side. Yes, it's narrow. But yes, it's true. There's one way and never will be another. Both the oyster, the pearl, and the church came out of the mire. If you want to find oysters in the creek bank out here, get ready to get your feet dirty. My wife likes to go gather shells, and she contacted a fellow in McClellanville, and he was the guy who seeds oyster beds. And then they go and harvest them, and that's what he does for a living. And he knew where all the good shells were, and he kindly took us to a little island that you just nobody goes to. And I said, boy, we'll find some shells here. And so when I was getting out of the boat, he said, be careful now, you're going to sink down some. And I stepped in that miry clay and went up about half my leg, you know, to my knee. Well, Ann said, I don't none of that. So instead of jumping in there, she jumps on me. So now I'm knee deep, standing there, 3.5 feet tall, looking around. Still ain't found them tennis shoes. They down there somewhere. It just sucked them off my feet. And they were gone. But we got out and I said, well, here I am back in the miry clay. The song was right. That's the miry clay. And that's where the oysters live. And they are living in the mud. Living in the darkness. Lost. Nobody knows they're there but the man that put them there. Same as with you and me, living in a lost world. Living in the mud, living in the miry clay, living in the filth. All you got to do is watch TV for an hour and you'll understand we live in a cesspool. We live in a cesspool. They've taken everything decent and ruined it. Everything clean and ruined it. Families going by the wayside. Marriage going by the wayside. Decency going by the wayside. Children not afraid of leaving their mother to go to school, afraid to go to school because they'll get shot. God help us. Living in terrible times, and unfortunately it's going to get worse, but the good news is he's coming soon and it's going to get better. And we live in the filth, the miry clay, just like the oyster. What good in us barely gets shown through unless somebody lifts us out of that. And a pearl's work is done silently. That pearl, that oyster forms that pearl in the quietness of the darkness of the mud. And that's the way God's work is done. And you see the large evangelistic campaigns, and they're wonderful. And some of the churches make it on television, and there's some who are 3,000 and 4,000, but they're the rarities. Average church attendance in America is 75 people. 75. And the work is done quietly. It's done by the Holy Spirit of God who convicts people that they need a Savior, whether they hear it in a cathedral or whether they hear it in a baseball field or whether they hear it at the beach or whether they hear it on the radio. But then the Holy Spirit of God comes by and pulls on you. Now let me tell you something you really need to hear. A friend of mine isn't here today. He said, sometimes, Beavers, it's happened a time or two, you'll be preaching, and this isn't me, don't get me wrong, he's just here. He said, you'll be preaching, and he said, now feel a tugging that I just need to do something, and I don't know what that is. As I do, See, it's the Lord passing by, son. He's tapping you on the shoulder, say, you better go now. I may not be back this way. We know he'll come by, but we don't know how many times. It may be 1,000. It may be once. But I'm going to tell you, when he comes by you, whether it be today, tomorrow, whenever, when he comes by and you feel that conviction coming on you, you bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know you've come for me. And I want to accept you today. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate the story of the thief on the cross. But that's not a precedent. That's an exception. I wouldn't wait till I got there to try to find him if I was you. You better find him long before you get there. Because you don't know when that's coming. Especially in this day and time, they'll dope you up 4 months before you die now. Used to be you called family together, everybody prayed, you went home. It was a better way. It's done quietly by unseen prayer. You see, a lot of people accept the Lord Jesus because a grandmother somewhere is praying. Won't turn you loose. You hadn't seen her lately, but she won't turn you loose. You got that little white hair and that little Bible on the front porch, and she's rocking and she's praying and saying, Jesus, take care of my grandbaby. And you 50, but you grandbaby to her. And she's saying, take care of my grandbaby. Bring him in. Take care of my grandbaby. Bring her in. Don't let her die without you. And many a many person doesn't even know it and won't know it till they see the Lord, that they came because a little grandmother quietly, in the quiet of her prayer life, prayed for them to find the Savior. You do it through Bible reading. Quietly reading your Bible. We got some closet Bible readers. Every now and peek in there just to see if they can find something. And then they say, well, look at here. I didn't know that was in there. Well, I didn't know about this. And all of a sudden they say, wait a minute. That's not only my Bible. It's about me. Surprise inside, but good news is also a good gift inside. And you read it and you'll find out you're in there. And just by reading the Bible, you'll find Jesus died for you. And it wasn't guy next to you. He died for you. And he loved you. And it wasn't the guy in front of you. He loved you. And he's coming back again, not for the lady behind you. He's coming back, hopefully, finding you to take with him. But only if you want to go. It's done quietly by one-on-one witnessing. You do it when you invite people to come down here. We got one sign out by the street. You see our sign we got? That's wonderful. And you had the brochure. Who had the brochure? Somebody had one brochure. But you came because somebody told you. Somebody just mentioned quietly to you somewhere. Might have been a bar up the street. You know what you ought to do Sunday? You ought to go down there. You need to see this. You need to come down here and see what's going on. And somebody just quietly whispered that to you. Wasn't a big show. Just quietly said, come on, go with me. Like the Dale Vikings, come go with me. And so you brought people in. And you got one at the last minute this morning, didn't you, sweetheart? She said, I was over at the hotel getting a cup of coffee and saw a guy with a Bible. Said, how you doing? You going to church? Don't know where one is. Come on. Brought him on over. So that's the way. The quietness of it all. And you just keep asking. The Southern Baptists do their homework very well. And they say you got to touch somebody 6 times before you get any kind of response. Just saying, go to church with me sometime. Anybody will say, yeah, we'll do that. 6 times. So, you know, you learn in sales real quick until somebody says, look, I don't like what you're selling. I don't like you. I don't like your company. I'm not giving you any money. Get out of my house. I have a gun. And then you say, other than that, what would the problem be? On that next one, you go. Usually. But you don't go till then. All the good salesmen know that, see. And that's what you do when you're trying to get somebody. Do it quietly. You do it quietly teaching your homeschooling that you do for your kids. It's easy to tell your children that you love their mother. But if you'll slip up on her and kiss her on the back of the neck and pat her on the fanny when they're looking from the other room, they'll get the message. You don't say nothing. They'll understand when you care for her. They'll understand because they'll see you do it. They'll understand they're supposed to listen to the preacher when you skip the ball game and turn Dr. Stanley on. They'll understand when you have to work hard for your money, but you see to get up an hour early where you can get your Bible studying and praying for that family done. Kids know. They learn more by what you don't say than by what you do say. They learn by watching you. And they'll be quick to tell you, I don't do that because you didn't do it. I mean, they cut no corners. They'll look right at you. And it hurts, doesn't it? The missionaries do their job quietly. You know, we don't hear about any missionaries. You don't hear about a one of them. There's thousands of them all over the world today going about their business, some in buildings, some in mud huts, some standing in forests and fields preaching the gospel. Some hadn't had a convert in 5 years and still stay there and spend their life there and lose their families there and go through all kind of hardships there because of the love of God. And they say, he brought me out of the miry clay and he's putting me on display and I shall serve him, as Randy sang a while ago. And the missionaries go right on. They don't want any headlines. They're not looking for any compliments. All they want is to hear one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's all they want to hear. And that's a teacher. Now the pearl and the Christian are alike in that they're brought from darkness to light. That pearl can be out here in the creek bank, in that oyster. It can be big as a golf ball. And boy, if you could find it, you'd be a wealthy person. But it's in the mud and it's in the shell and it's in the dark and nobody knows it's there. As it sits, it's totally worthless. It's not worth anything until it's brought to the light. So is a man. A man without being born again has no spiritual life. You are quickened. Your spirit is quickened. That means made alive when you accept the Lord Jesus. Till then, you are a spiritually dead man occupying a physical body walking around. You dead without dirt is all you are. Once you accept Christ, your spirit comes alive, and you're a spiritual baby. That's why we call it being born again. You're a spiritual baby. And then you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and one day, when you're brought to light and come out of that darkness, then you see who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be, and you start being that. And like the pearl that's brought out of the miry clay and out of the darkness to the light, and its beauty is shown, so is yours. When you become a Christian, and who you think your friends are leave you all of a sudden, and those who really are like you attract to you and say, I knew one day you'd join us. I knew one day you'd be a child of God. I knew you had it in you. And your true potential begins to blossom. And that's a good day when you go from darkness to light. It's a wonderful day. And last, the pearl and the church both are destined for display. The pearl, as we mentioned, the big nice ones and the beautiful, beautiful pearls find their way to a king's crown. Or they find their way to a queen's necklace. And they are put on display in great to do is made over them, and rightly so, for in their glory they can't be matched, and they're put on display because of their beauty. And one day the church is going to be done that way. The pearl of great price, you and me and every other Christian that makes up the church universal, the body of Christ, he is going to present us to his Father. And the scripture tells me he's going to call the angels in and say, all right, now, we got a little show for you. Line up. I want you to come by and look what I can do. Y'all think you something, flying around, doing what you're doing? Appreciate what you did, but look at what I did. These are my trophies. And there we stand. There we stand. His trophies. His pearl of great price. His glory. His beauty. And he's so proud because he makes us that way. And I said, just count me in a little bit. Just make me a little bit of that church. just put me in where I can't get out and secrete me with layer upon layer so I'm in forever. So one day when that presentation is made, I can be among the crowd who sings glory to the Lamb forevermore. And if you aren't in that pearl of great price, you aren't in that church, you don't have to join anything, you don't have to sign up. We don't ask you to come to the front or raise your hand or do anything else. I just say where you sit, quietly, like the oyster builds his pearl. Quietly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior today, what a better day to join the family. Meet the owner of the beach you love so much. Meet the owner of whose sunshine you've been bathing in. Meet the owner of the air you breathe. Meet the owner of the universe that we get to live in forever. It's what we put on the sign out front. Enjoy the beach, but worship the owner. And we meant that thing. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning where you sit, as I pray, you quietly take your soul to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I understand you're the only Savior. I don't understand it all, but I understand enough that I don't want to remain in darkness, that I don't want to be lost forever from your presence, that I'd like to be a part of your glory. I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to join your church, your body, of which you are the head, and I understand it's free for the asking, that all I have to do is ask you, and you'll put me in. And if you'll do that, have me, please do. So all you got to say, there's no magic formula. You just have to mean it. You don't have to mean it to me. I'm not your judge. But you have to mean it to him, and he you shall not fool. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can learn of thy word, and we can learn we can be part of the pearl of great price that you came and purchased with your life and your blood. Lord Jesus, you loved us enough to die for us. Looks like we'd love you enough to live for you. Be with those here today who don't know you, who are here without a Savior. May the Holy Spirit of God move through this crowd and touch those hearts in particular, and let them know that today they're being called unto you, and it may be the last call they hear. Thank you for the assembly you've brought together before us this morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of spreading your word. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for the joy of thy salvation. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.